Jeremiah chapter number 19. The book of Jeremiah chapter number 19 is what will be today for the next 40-some minutes of our lives. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Now, before we begin reading this story here, I'm just going to give you a brief summary of what we did last week. We talked about in chapter number 18, we went into the potter's house and we learned about how the potter how he did his job and the things that took place there and how that is a comparison to how God took man out of nothing and formed man. And now we see the potter, he takes a piece of clay and he forms a vessel out of that. And I look at that verse and I see those comparisons and I look at that and I see that, you know, that's just another name for God as the potter. Now, I was approached last week after the Sunday school class, and I appreciated what was said. First of all, I'm encouraged. First of all, folks are listening. That's awesome to me. What's been encouraging to me, I guess there's a few folks that read right along with me throughout the week, the chapter that we're going to be studying, and that's a great encouragement to me. And but the question, the thought that came to me afterwards, and I wish I would have had it because it is a great thought. God never throws anything away. He keeps us. All those pieces that we break, he takes those and he takes them back and continues to mold us. And that was just a great thought in that, and I appreciate that. And now we're going to still be in the house of the potter for a little bit today. We're going to see some things that are going to take place. I will warn you, this will be kind of graphic this morning. There's no way around it. You look at this chapter here, it's pretty graphic on the things that take place. And to be honest with you, it's quite disturbing to me as I begin to study this throughout this week. And I'm just saying to myself, really? This is pretty devastating. You'll see these things as we go through this. But let me be encouraging to you, knowing that this doesn't have to be the end result for you and I. It didn't have to be the end result for them either. The only way it ended up for them the way it did is because of what? Because they rejected God. And it doesn't have to be that way, but they rejected God. And but I'm saying that this morning because I'm thankful for the grace that God bestows upon us. His grace is abundant, above many things I can imagine. His mercy is abundant as well. And thankful for a God who is constantly working on yours and my behalf. And he's got a lot of work to do, amen? You see me up here, you say, yeah, he does have a lot of work to do, and I would agree with you on that one. So as we begin to read this next chapter, again, let's have our hearts and our mind in tune with God. I will pray outwardly, and I want to ask you folks to pray inwardly. God, speak to my heart. Help me to gain something from your word today. Let's go ahead and pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. Lord, it is a great joy to be around family once again this morning. Lord, I'll be quite honest with you. When I walk into church on Sundays and on Wednesday evenings, Lord, I'm grateful to be surrounded by family, Lord, that is under your blood. And Lord, this morning I pray that you would begin to speak to our hearts through the teaching of your word. Lord, I ask for wisdom this morning on my behalf, Lord, that you just continue to bestow your wisdom and your knowledge upon me this morning. Lord, I pray that you would be with our pastor this morning as he's dealing with a very delicate subject for the next couple of weeks with the young adults. And Lord, I know that it is needed. And Lord, I just pray that hearts would be receptive to the teaching aspects of the importance of dating and marriage and all the things that go with it, Lord. I just pray that you just work there. Lord, I pray for the ones who were not able to be with us this morning due to health concerns. And Lord, I just pray that you just bring healing to their bodies. And Lord, I want to thank you for the ones that are here this morning, for their willingness to want to be in your house and to learn from your word. And Lord, I pray today as we walk out of here, we can say it is a great day to be in God's house. And we ask it in your name. Amen. So as we begin here in chapter number 19, we'll read verses 1 through verse number 15. Just to give you the outline that I want to go through this morning. First of all, if you want the title of the message, it is titled The Death Valley. That's what I titled this morning. We're going to see here the continuation, my first point of the rejection of the potter. Then we're going to see the forsaken potter. They kind of go hand in hand here. Then we're going to see Death Valley. And then I want to talk about the messenger towards the end of this. I believe we need to deal with the subject as well. So let's begin reading here in verse number 1 down to verse number 15. Again, as we read this, you're going to see some gory stuff here, and we're going to go through this the best that we can. It says in verse number 1, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, go and get a potter's earthen bottle, and take of the ancients of the people, and of the ancients of the priests, and go forth unto the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is by the entry of the east gate, and proclaim there the words that I shall tell thee, and say, Hear ye the word of the Lord, O kings of Judah, and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Behold, I will bring evil upon his place, the which whosoever heareth, his ears shall tingle. Because they have forsaken me, and have estranged this place, and have burned incense in it unto other gods, whom neither they nor their fathers have known, nor the kings of Judah, and have filled this place with the blood of innocents. They have built also the high places of Baal, to burn their sons with fire for burnt offerings unto Baal, which I commanded not. Nor spake it, neither came it into my mind. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that this place shall no more be called Tophet, nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. And I will make void the council of Judah and Jerusalem in this place, and I will cause them to fall by the sword before their enemies, and by the hands of them that seek their lives, and their carcasses will I give to be meat for the fowls of heaven and for the beasts of the earth. And I will make this city desolate and an hissing. Every one that passeth thereby shall be astonished and hiss because of all the plagues thereof. And I will cause them to eat the flesh of their sons and the flesh of their daughters. And they shall eat every one the flesh of his friend, in a siege and straitness wherewith their enemies and they that seek their lives shall straiten them." And everybody's appetite just went away in those last two verses. Verse number 10, "Then shalt thou break the bottle in the sight of the men that go with thee, and shalt say to them, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, even so will I break this people and this city, as one breaketh a potter's vessel that cannot be made whole again, and they shall bury them in Tophet till there be no place to bury. Thus will I do unto this place, saith the Lord, and to the inhabitants thereof, and even make this city as Tophet. And the houses of Jerusalem and the houses of the kings of Judah shall be defiled as the place of Tophet, because of all the houses upon whose roofs they have burned incense unto all the hosts of heaven, and have poured out drink offerings unto other gods. Then came Jeremiah from Tophet, where the Lord had sent him to prophesy, and he stood in the court of the Lord's house, and said to all the people, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Behold, I will bring the city and upon all her towns all the evil that I have pronounced against it, because they have hardened their necks, that they might not hear my words." Now, that story is going to be continued into next week with Jeremiah. He's just getting started here, and I don't want to get ahead of myself in chapter number 20. So we're going to go back, and we're going to see, basically just rehearse what we just read in God's word. First thing I want to look at here is the rejection of the potter. And again, this is a place where they have allowed themselves to be in their lives. And that all comes down to the fact for one reason. Can anybody give it to me? They rejected who? They rejected God. Exactly. And so they've allowed themselves to be in an unfamiliar place. And why was it unfamiliar? Because they had no business being there to begin with. They were in a place of familiarity with God. God chose them. They had a relationship with God apparently at one point, and then they turned away and sought other gods. And so they put themselves in a very unfamiliar place. And because of this, we saw the story last week of the potter and what the potter can do to the clay when it was broken. He likes to mend it back together. But now we're going to see, and we just read what takes place because of the rejection of the potter. Now, in verse number 1, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, go and get a potter's earthen vessel." First, we must understand and recognize this morning, these are still words that are given to Jeremiah from God. He is still giving him the exact same thing to say every single time he goes into these people and begins to teach and begins to preach this message to them. The words have come from God. We have to understand these things. They don't come from Jeremiah. Jeremiah is a being used of God, and God is using him very delicately in these situations. Now, let's go on here. It says, God tells Jeremiah to take the potter's bottle, and it calls it the vessel here. Not only does he tell him to take of the potter's bottle, but in verse 1 he says, take of the ancients of the people and of the ancients of the priests. Basically he's saying, go get the elders of the people, go get the elders of the priests, and I want you to take them with you. And there's a very good reason why he wants them to be involved in this, and it's for them to be a witness on the things that's going to be said and the things that's going to be done at this particular time. Now, we just read a very gut-wrenching passage, I believe, in God's Word on the devastating things that is going to take place. The news that is delivered to these folks, you can probably agree with me after reading this, is devastating news. And again, I don't know if I can feel sorry for these folks just because of the fact that God has allowed Jeremiah to continuously speak to them on many different occasions to deliver God's message of judgment that will come upon them because of their flat-out rejection of God. And so this devastating news has come to them because they rejected the fact that God was their potter. And this is where we're at in this particular verse. Notice in verse number 2, it says, and go forth in the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is by the entry of the east gate, and proclaim there the words that I shall tell thee, and say, hear ye the word of the Lord. Now, I thought about this. Wouldn't this be kind of interesting if pastor and any other missionary evangelist that would come in and begin to give the sermon, the first thing that would be on their lips that you would hear is say, hear ye the words of the Lord. And the reason why I believe this is being said is because, hey, I have something very important to tell you, and I want you to pay attention to these things because I don't want it to fall upon deaf ears. I'm trying to be a help to you. I'm not trying to be a hindrance to you. And I want you to listen, and I want you to hear, and I want you to gravitate towards God's Word. But we realize, as we're in chapter number 19 now, that the complete opposite has taken place in the life of Jerusalem and in the lives of Judah at this point in time. They're not drawing to God. What do we see? They're drawing away from God. And it's not a good position for them to be in. Now, we see why they are delivered this devastating news. Jerusalem and Judah have kept on rejecting the words of God that have come out of Jeremiah's mouth. Now, let's be honest with ourselves. That's no different than folks of today. We have people that are in churches throughout this country this morning. They're all gathering in different places of worship. There you can probably have a group to 200 to 300. You can probably have a group to 25 to 30,000 people. And I will guarantee you this, as the message is being preached, some people are just there to be there. It is nothing more than a religion to them. It's become monotonous in their life. They have no desire to learn God's word. They have no desire to really to hear God's truth. And so what do? They reject God's word. I guarantee you that has taken place in churches across this world today. I'll guarantee you that. And so that is no different than today. But not only do they reject the words of God, but they have also rejected the counsel of the preacher. Jeremiah was the prophet at this point in time. God has given him the words to say for these folks. Remember, God carefully chooses his words. He carefully chose his words last week about the beautiful object lesson of the potter and the clay. He carefully chooses his words. And so not only were they rejecting God, but they're rejecting the counsel of the preacher. And so often that is misunderstood on many different occasions. People misunderstand the preacher, the messenger at times. The man of God, we have to understand these things, and we need to understand if we don't. The man of God is trying to be a help to his people. This morning, pastor is upstairs giving some future marriage, if we can say it like this, dating how to really date and what to seek in dating and marriage counseling in a sense. He's doing this because, first of all, he knows what is going on in this world. And he's wanting to be a help to those young people who are have not either sought a mate yet, but a mate is in their future. He's wanting to be a help to them. He's not wanting to be a hindrance. But so often when a preacher or an evangelist or a missionary gets up and preach, automatically people sit there and think, man, this guy, he's blowing steam. He's angry. He's yelling at us, and he's mean. Just trying to be a help. That's it, just trying to be a help. These last few months, as I've gone over the book of Jeremiah now, and it's taken a few months just to get to where we're at now. And I know it sounds very repetitive at times, but we have to understand this. I'm doing this not only for myself because I need help from God's Word, but I'm doing this for you as well because we all need help. We all need counsel. We all need guidance in our life. I can't imagine today where my life would be without a preacher or a mom and dad that would not want to intervene in my life to help me to be better in my life. And so when that counsel comes from any person that's giving out God's Word, and let me rephrase that because I don't want to say any person. First of all, they must be called of God. Amen? They must be called of God. And so I need to be careful how I say that. They're trying to be a help to us. They're not trying to be a hindrance to us. They're not trying to be mean to us. Sometimes it sounds mean. Sometimes it sounds degrading. But sometimes you got to get to the fact, and you can't really beat around the bush about things. And it might be condemning at times. But we're trying to be a help to you folks. Jeremiah, again, let's understand this. Jeremiah has a love for these folks. I don't think Jeremiah would be in this situation, first of all, if he didn't have a love for these folks. I understand that God called him back in the day. God chose him to speak to these folks. But I also believe as God did that, God instilled in his heart a love for those people. Because it's hard to preach and to teach to somebody whom you don't love. It really is. And I have been privileged on many different occasions to go speak at different churches. And it's very difficult to give that first sermon. Why? Because you don't really know them. You don't know who they are. You don't know what makes them click. But as you go back there on many different occasions, what happens? You develop a love for those people. Just like Brother Ziner, he was here a few weeks ago. Do you know why he feels so comfortable in his church? Because he loves you folks. He's around in many different churches across the U.S. and overseas, and he has a love for you folks. And so he can give the gospel and be an encouragement to you because he has a love for you. Again, Jeremiah has a love for these people here. He only wants what's best for them, and that is for them to have God in their lives. Now, he saw that God was not in their lives. And so with that being said, he saw that God was absent from them. God was not a part of their life, and so what did he do? He preached the message that God gave him. And you know what? Despite the fact that they rejected God's word, despite the fact that they rejected his preaching, what did he do? He still remained faithful. You know, that ought to be encouraging to you and I. How many times have we witnessed to our friends and our family members, and we've been rejected? We can probably say on numerous occasions, can't we? So with that being said, if Jeremiah can go to a nation here and continue to give out a message knowing they're going to reject him, what do? We stay true to our faith, amen? We stay true to our faith, we stay true to our convictions, and we still give them the message, even if they reject it. You know, at the end of the day, and I hate to say it like that, but at the end of the day, when they stand before God and they rejected God, it's not going to be your fault. It's going to be their fault because they did not take counsel from you about accepting God as their Lord and Savior. And so because of that, they will be condemned to hell. Yes, we will feel sorry. We will have tears. I understand those things. But we won't be accountable. The only thing I believe we will be accountable for is when God places those people in our lives and we reject to give them the counsel of God's Word. And so we must understand there is an important part in our life to be giving out God's word here, even though we might face rejection and we might face some circumstances that might not be suitable for us at times. But let me encourage you, keep teaching the people that God has brought in your life. Keep teaching them. Be consistent. Be that example for them. Not only can you be that example for them as far as talking to them, man, have your testimony in check too. Have your testimony in check, because I have come to realize that people examine our lives. They examine our lives. I was driving home from church a few weeks ago, and my neighbor that has moved in a year ago, he's deaf. And I would love for him to come to church. We correspond with each other through our phones. We text each other quite a bit, and we have a good time with that. And I've invited him to church on a couple occasions, and I said, listen, Mark, I would love for you to come to church, and I understand that you can't hear. He can't even speak. I said, but I will text you everything that is being said. And as I began to think about that, I was like, I couldn't keep up with Pastor. I would have to have my wife do that. But then if I had my wife do that, she'd have to do some multitasking. And some of you folks know what I mean by that. Amen, Carrie? And but anyway, a couple weeks ago, now you all getting that. A couple weeks ago, I drove into my driveway, and I walked into the house, and apparently he was watching me, and he sent me a text. He goes, how was church this morning? He goes, was it good? I said, yeah, it was good. I said, but I missed seeing you there. See, they look at our lives. They examine. They know when I leave my house for church. They know exactly what time church starts. And so they're looking at us through their windows. And so not only do we need to be consistent in giving that message to them verbally, but also at the same time, they need to see that God is important in our lives. Amen? So Jeremiah is doing this because he has a desire for these people. And so often it's misunderstood by people. The same goes for a pastor here. A pastor truly loves the people that God has called him to. Let's go back a year ago as we went through a tragic situation in our church with pastor and his health concern. And it's been a year that he was in rehab at the Madonna Rehab Center. And he was finally able to come through and begin to make sense of some things. And we begin to have some conversations. You folks seen him at the Madonna Rehab Center. You've seen him at the hospital. But you also seen him up here on a TV screen because he wanted to be such a part of that, our services. Chrissy would walk around and do some FaceTime with him so he can hear the singing that would take place that morning. But one thing that I begin to recognize and understand how much he loves you folks is when we had our private time together and he would tell me some things that he would want me to say and that he would want to have me give to you folks. And I begin to say to myself, why is he even concerned about you folks right now when his life is really in a mess physically? He can't even stand up on his own. He can't even go to the restroom on his own. He's got to have help for everything. But I begin to understand one thing, why he did those things to me, why he told me to do these things. Because of the love that he has for you folks. Even if that was his last days upon earth, he had a desire to still counsel you through God's word. And I tell you what, that is tremendous coming from a man of God. A lot of men of God don't really care, and I say it for this reason. They're just there for a paycheck. They don't really have the love for these folks. So not only does Jeremiah love these folks, but the pastor that God has called to this church truly loves you people. And he only wants you to do what God has for you in your life. Jeremiah tells them in verse number 3, let's get back to this, as he says, hear ye the word of the Lord, O kings of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring evil upon this place. So as we close out the rejection of the potter here, Jeremiah tells them that God will bring evil upon the land at this point in time. And we've read some gruesome things that have come to take place. Now we're going to move on to the forsaking of the potter, no different than the rejection of the potter. Now, why has this, why has these prophetic words have come out of Jeremiah at this point in time? And remember, he is prophesying what is going to happen to these folks. And the reason why we're in this situation right now with the rejection of the potter and the forsaking of the potter is for this reason. Why is evil going to come upon him? Here's my answer. Verse number 3. It says, I got ahead of myself. Verse number 4. Because they have, say those last two words with me, forsaken me. The evil that has come upon them and that will come upon them at this point in time is because they have forsaken God. Well, where have they forsaken God at? What point in time in their life did they forsake God? Here's one of the things that I want to point out here. Verse number 3 says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring evil upon this place, the which whoever heareth, his ear shall tingle. Because they have forsaken me and have estranged this place and have burned incense in it unto other gods." Now, they forsook God. Why? Because they found pleasure in serving other gods, false gods. We ran through a list a few months ago of the false gods that they were serving, that they have come entangled with. But the one God, false God, that they are entangled with here is mentioned again in verse number 5, and that is Baal. That is the false god that they have had pleasure in and that they have done indescribable things to this false god. One of the things, as they found pleasure in serving other gods, we read this, they made a practice to burn incense unto false gods. Now, as we read in verse number 4, it says, they have burnt incense unto other gods. Let's read the rest of this. It says, "For whom neither they nor their fathers have known, nor the kings of Judah, and filled this place with the blood of innocence." So now they're finding pleasure in the other gods. Now they're burning incense under the other gods. Now we see here that these gods that are mentioned here, they have never known them. Now let me say this. The gods that are being talked about here have no idea who they are either. They have no clue. Why is that? Because they're not real. They don't exist. And so they are serving false images. And so these gods that they took pleasure in, that they took time to burn incense, did not even know them. I am thankful today. I just served my spiritual birthday here last Wednesday. And thank God that I have a God who knows me, who knows everything about me. And I'm thankful for that. Now, I could have rejected God, and I could go down a path that these folks have gone down and fallen into that trap that they have fallen into. And I could say, hey, I'm going to serve these false gods. And these false gods not even know who I am. Don't even care about me. Don't even care about my well-being. But my Heavenly Father cares about every single one of us in here this morning. And I'm so thankful for that. And He knows me. He knows my name. He knows the very hair that I have on my head. I'm thankful for those things. He knows all my faults. He knows my heart. He knows me. Those other gods, they can't even come close. We read here in this verse, it says, "And have filled this place with the blood of innocents." What this is saying here, they have taken the lives of the innocents. And who is that being talked about? I believe they're talking about the children here were sacrificed. They would take their own children and they would sacrifice their children. They offered their children as sacrifices to Baal. And we read here in verse number 5, it says, "They burned their sons with fire for burnt offerings unto Baal, which I commanded not, nor spake it, neither came it into my mind." So they offered these sacrifices to Baal, and God did not attend for any of this to happen. Anybody ever heard of Alfie Evans? Some of you folks are shaking your head this week. Alfie Evans is a little boy. He's 23 months old. I believe he was in Italy or Rome this past week. He's been on life support for, I can't remember how many days that he's been on life support. Well, anyway, to make a long story short, Alfie Evans was, his parents were involved in a case that was very near to them. The hospital decided where he was at that they would take him off life support. He was born with a degenerative brain disease. And so all the doctors in the area have come to the conclusion that there is no way for them and no reason for them to keep him on life support because there's no cure for this young child. But they fought for the life of their son. They fought for him. Why? Because they loved him. They didn't want to give him up. And so what they did, they went to every high court in the land. They went to every high court, and every high court rejected them. They were wanting to give their child to Italy so they can get it to the Vatican's Children's Hospital where they would keep their son on life support. And the reason why they wanted to do this, because they still had hope. They didn't want to give up their child at this point in time. But Monday, the young boy was taken off life support. He just passed away late Friday night or early Saturday morning at the age of 23 months. And the only thing I can say about that this morning is I'm thankful that he's in God's presence this morning. And I know that might not take their hurt and their pain away. I understand those things, but he is in the presence of God today. But this is how precious their child was to them. He's only been in their life for only a few months. As he was taken off life support, the mom and dad would take turns giving their son mouth to mouth so that their young child can still live. Not only would they take the time to do that, they would still continue to go to the high courts to see if someone would intervene on their son's behalf so that they can get into a place where they know that they can continue putting him on life support. See, no parent wants to sacrifice their children, I believe. They had a tremendous love for them. But what happened to these folks here? They got involved with false gods. And being involved with false gods, you get involved in lies, in the deception. You're not being told the truth. And now, therefore, they would give up their children to Baal. Verse number 6, it says, "Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that this place shall no be called Tophet, nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter." God did not intend for any of this to happen or to take place, but it happened. Why? Because they rejected God. So the further away from God they went, the easier it became. And that happens. The more we miss out in church, the more easier it becomes for us to keep saying, you know what, I'm just going to keep missing because it's just going to get easier and easier for me. And I will tell you this, that is so truthful. Because that was true in my life, where I didn't think at one point in time that I didn't need to go to church all the time. As soon as I got married, I was like, you know what? I've been around this for 20-some years of my life. I'm okay with it. I'm okay if I just miss one sermon. And then I found out, well, if I miss one sermon, then I would miss another one. It just became easier. See what happened? I fell into the lies and the deceptions that the world offers. What happened? I got further away from God. And as I got further away from God, the easier it became. And so this is where these people are at. They're in this position because they are so far, they're so far gone from God. Now we just read here in verse number 6, the death valley. God has had enough, and his hand of judgment will fall upon them. No different than in the end day, God's judgment will come upon this world. Because he can only tolerate sin for so long. And I understand that we're in the age of grace right now, and I don't know when that age is going to end, but I do know this, his hand of judgment will be upon this world. And it's not going to be a pretty thing for people to see. Their enemies here, verse number 7, it says, "And I will make void the counsel of Judah and Jerusalem in this place, and I will cause them to fall by the sword before their enemies and by the hand of them that seek their lives." So we see here the enemies that they have at this point in time will come in and they will devour them by the sword. And when this happens, their carcasses, as we just read here a few moments ago, let's read this again. "And their carcasses will I give to be meat for the fowls of heaven and for the beasts of the field." I grew up in a household that on Saturday evenings, we watched Mutual of Omaha. Does anybody ever remember those things? I watched Mutual of Omaha during those days. Just before that, I would watch Lawrence Welk. I still have a desire today. I get made fun of, but I like Lawrence Welk. It's just, amen. See, we got something in common. And I miss those days. But I also remember as we're watching the Mutual of Omaha, we would see occasionally animals when they would attack their prey. And it wasn't a very pretty sight. And I believe they held back some footages from us during those times because we were very sensitive back then. Now we're very sensitive. But anyway, I remember watching those things where a tiger would pounce on their enemy or a cheetah would prance on their prey. And it was always the antelope. Did anybody ever catch that? It was always the antelope getting caught or the wildebeest. They would get caught, and they would get taken down. But I can remember as they're going down, they would take them down, and as soon as death would come upon them, what would they do? They would begin to tear away with their teeth. They would dig into that flesh of the body, and I know this sounds gross, but they would dig into that flesh, they'd rip the skin apart, and the meat would just be flying everywhere. Folks, that's what's happening. That's what's happening right now as we read this with these folks. They have fallen upon a sword. Their carcasses have been spread upon the land. And now because their carcasses are spread upon the land, what's happening? The fowls of the air, they're having a heyday. They're thinking, oh, right, man, I don't have to go out and hunt for food. I got food right here. Not only that, the maggots are filling the place, and the beasts of the field are taking pleasure in this as well. Why? Because they forsook God. That's why they're at where they're at right there, at this point in time. And so their carcasses have become meat for the fowl and for the beasts of the earth. The land here has become desolate. In verse number 8, it says, I'll make this city desolate, and in hissing, everyone that passeth thereby shall be astonished and hiss because of all the plagues thereof. I had in my mind last night the sound of what people would do as they walk by this town. So just bear with me. I can just imagine people walking by and go, That's the thought process that was going through my mind. And as people come upon this place of desolate, I just imagine it's taking place during this time. But it's taking place because they know of the plagues that have been placed upon this town here. Now, verse number 9. We're going to get a little bit more gory here. It says, and I will cause them to eat the flesh of their sons and the flesh of their daughters, and they shall eat every one the flesh of his friend, and the siege and straitness wherewith their enemies and they that seek their lives shall straiten them. What do we just see take place here? Is the word cannibalism coming to mind? That's what came to my mind. So this morning, I'm just going to say, for sake of argument, none of you are my friends this morning because I don't want to eat you. Amen? That's what's taking place here. The flesh of their sons and the flesh of their daughters, and they shall eat everyone the flesh of his friends. Cannibalism, because of what was taking place, set in into this land. And because of this, because of their sin, because of the rejection, they began to eat one another. Now, I kind of did some research this week on cannibalism and how popular that is. It is still being practiced in over 9 countries to this day, to where they practice eating another one's flesh. And it's, I tell you what, it's not a pretty thing to be a part of. They do this for many different reasons, and reasons I won't go into detail for because I don't want to gross you out here. But they take pleasure in doing these things. There was a story here last year. I can't remember exactly where it's taking place, but there has been a few deaths in a town. And they could not remember where these folks went to. Come to find out that the people were being eaten. It was being served in restaurants. You don't want to go to that town, which is why I'm not telling you where it's at. But anyway, it takes place in our world today. People take pleasure in it, and they do it because they believe some of these instances, they believe this is brings pleasures to their gods. And they set out to devour people and begin to eat of their flesh and to consume them. Now, I know that's pretty gross, and I know that sounds sick, but it is what's taking place, and it is taking place in some of our countries this day. Now, let's move on from that, because I don't have an appetite no more. Verse number 9, it says, verse number 10, then shalt thou break the bottle in the sight of the men that go with thee, and shall say unto them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, so will I break this people and the city as one break of the potter's vessel that cannot be made whole again. The people will be broken just like the potter's vessel that has been broken, and that it cannot be made whole again. They have ruined their chance at this point in time. This judgment that we have read about and that Jeremiah has prophesied about has come for one reason. Because they forsook their God. They forsook their God. We're literally going to see thousands, if not millions of people go into the pit of hell because of one reason, because they rejected God. We're going to see people who have been grown up and been brought up in church, who sit underneath the preaching of God's word, go to hell because they reject God's word. Well, Chad, isn't everybody saved here? I don't know that. I just know Jesus had one follower with him out of 12 that said, you know what? I'm going to reject him. So you take a look around and you count how many people out of here. So I believe one out of every 12 people, I don't know, you take the math. You take that in consideration. I don't know your heart. God knows your heart. But this judgment has come because they are forsaking God. Now, let's look at the messenger here, and we'll be done here. This will just be very quickly here. It says, then came Jeremiah from Tophet, where the Lord had sent him to prophesy. And he stood in the court of the Lord's house. Now, let me remind you that Jeremiah has yet to stand inside the house of the Lord. Now he's just in the court of the Lord. And we can look at this and say this might be the porch before he enters into the house of the Lord. And so he's there. He's been prophesying. He's in the place here. It says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring upon the city and upon all her towns all the evil that I have pronounced against it, because they have hardened their necks that they might not hear my words. The messenger. We're going to close off with the messenger this morning with Jeremiah. We're kind of going to rehearse some things that were said earlier. Let us understand this morning, the voice of the messenger should have been listened to. The voice of the messenger should have been heeded to. But what we've seen and read and understand so far is the voice of the messenger was heard, just no different as we're in here this morning. You hear me, but you might not take the counsel. You hear me, no different than a child is standing before their parents guilty. We might hear the words that come out of their mouths, but we don't practice them. We're just hearing them. So they've heard the voice of the messenger, but they also did what? They rejected the voice of the messenger. And as they reject the voice of the messenger, who are they really rejecting? They're rejecting God. Now that is where they're at. The voice of the messenger was heard and is rejected. Jeremiah was prophesying, the messenger was prophesying the outcome that will happen to them. What was he doing? He was being a whistleblower. Now, if this was you and I, and just to say that I was Jeremiah at this point in time, and you folks are Jerusalem and Judah at this time, Jerusalem, Judah, and I came to you on many different occasions, and I began to prophesy the judgment that will come upon you, what would you do in your life?
Change.
Exactly. But you know what, Nadine? They didn't change.
All the way through the Old Testament.
They didn't change. They rejected God's word. I say this for a reason. We can stand and sit in here in these four walls here this morning. We can hear God's word, but we can also reject it. And I will say this. I feel sorry for anybody who rejects God's word. Yeah, there are times where we're being whistleblowers because we know of the harm that can come upon you when you reject the counsel of God. We also need to understand the messenger at this point in time. We said it earlier. But the message that came from him was from God. It was not done out of hatred. It was not done out of hatred. But it was done because God gave him a love for the people. The messenger loved these folks. Imagine the heartbreak that Jeremiah is going to face when all this comes to end here. He's going to be devastated. He's going to be hurt. He loved them. But the messenger here, despite the rejection, he was still persistent on warning them. You know, my daughter is 14 years old now. She's going to be 15 here in a couple months. God help me. And I need help. I got two blondes in my house, so I need double the prayers. But even at her age she is now, we still do things together, because I know there's going to come a day where she's not going to want to be around Dad. Dad's not going to be cool. And I know this for very good reason. I bought a new shirt this week, and I put it on. She goes, Dad, you look young. It's like, thanks. So what are you saying? Before all my other clothes I had on, I look old. But anyway, I took her out for a bike ride this week, and just on her bicycle. And even at the age she's at right now, I said, Jalen, there's a stop sign. Look both ways. I'm still giving her counsel. I'm still giving her guidance. I'm still warning her about the dangers that might come. I have to be persistent. But these folks here rejected God's word. Unfortunately, they were gone way too far. Folks, my concern is for everybody in here this morning. Don't walk away from God. Don't reject him. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word you've given us. Thank you for this time that you've allowed us to go through your word this morning. Lord, I pray that you'd refresh us here in the next couple minutes, Lord. Give us a good time of fellowship. Be with Pastor. Give him strength as he comes to the pulpit here in the next few minutes. We ask in your name. Amen.